have Brother Jack in our midst. He was not well. He's much better and he's giving God thanks. We want to continue to pray for those persons who do not enjoy good health from time to time. Brother Gilbert, while he's here, he asked that we be mindful of him, so we ask that we pray for Brother Gilbert, pray for persons like Sister Mattison, Sister Doreen Clemenson, and others who, you know, who do not enjoy good health time after time, that God will give them better health in due time. We want to continue to be mindful of our elderly members. We want to also remember our upcoming gospel meeting. Well, upcoming, you know, it's almost upon us. So I ask that we pray for our gospel meeting. Much work went into the distribution, and we are happy to report that the handbills are out. So we have distributed 6,000 handbills, and we just want to give thanks to God for the work that went in and for those persons who came out to have the distribution completed. We want to pray for Brother Osborne, who will be preaching in our meeting, that God will just give him the memory, the recollection of things that he has studied, and the courage and the boldness to dispense God's word. We want to pray for Sister Vivian Mills. She is worshiping at the Mona congregation, and we ask that we be mindful of her. Just want to ensure that I don't forget anyone or anything. We want to also keep in mind Brother Eric Watson. He's away for 2 months. We ask that we pray for him and the family, that God will continue to bless them. I see a note here that says, pray that God will grant us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in guiding the ladies' class, and that God will bless the ministry from strength to strength. This is from Sister Sharon and Sister Karen Fisher. So pray for them, that for God will give them the wisdom, the understanding, the guidance to lead the class aright. We turn to Psalm 473, after which Brother Blake will come and direct our hearts to God in prayer. 473. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bring the loaves beside the sea. In the sacred page, I sing thee, Lord, my spirit thanks for thee, holy being word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by God.
morning, church. Great Almighty God. Father, we come thanking you for another chance to be out to worship. Another first day of the week. Another chance, oh God, to come and to hear from you. To partake, oh God, in your holy communion. To give back to you, to sing songs of praise. And as we do now, to talk with you. We come saying thanks. Mighty God, we thank you that we could see a new year and that we have seen so many days in the new year. Great God, we are aware that so many persons didn't see this new year, and so many persons who saw this new year are not here with us today. So many persons, oh God, who would have planned like we did when the year started, are not around to see those plans through to fruition. Many are sick. Many, oh God, are troubled. And great God, we recognize that across the world, different things, different challenges are affecting different ones of us. But, oh God, we are here. We have planned. We are still in the land of the living. We still enjoy relative good health. We have with us, oh God, those things which make us happy. And we have hope. We come saying thanks. Help us, O God, as we go day by day to be conscious of the fact that we really control nothing. That as we go, O God, the breath of life, the sunshine, the what happens in our next moment is not within our control. And so, O God, help us always to look to you. Help us, O God, always to seek your guidance. Help us, O God, always to recognize that it is you who cause and you are still in control. Father, we come begging for your forgiveness. Ask, O God, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, great God, to have the strength, the conviction, to stay within the borders of those things which are right in your sight. Help us, O God, to do the good things, to do them better. Help us, O God, to stay away from those things which displease you. O God, we beg that you work with our willingness to do what is right. Great God, we pray for all of us here, individuals, as families, as close friends group. Help us, O God, to work to strengthen each other. Help us, O God, to seek to make each of us better as we work towards achieving your goal. Father, we pray especially for those among us who are not members of your body, that even this day, they will decide to be children of yours. Great God, we bring before you the many requests that have come. And Father, requests have always been coming. And you have always, O God, come true for us. So, God, we come in the confidence that you will do for us what we need. And so, God, we bring before you those requests, and we leave them with you, and we ask, O God, that you do as you always do, that you work them out for us in our best interests. Father, we ask that you will be with our teacher this morning, that you, O God, will bring to his memory the things he has studied, the things he knows, that as he comes, O God, he'll dispense to us a lesson you'd have all meant to know. Help us, O God, as we form the audience, that we will work, O God, towards the encouragement of the preaching of your gospel. Help us, O God, that when we would have ended today, that together we would be more equipped to work for you. Father, we ask that you will be with our gospel meeting, which starts today. Be with our speaker as he comes. Be with his family, support systems. Be, O God, with his memory, his knowledge. Help him, O God, that as he prepares and comes, that he will find hearts willing to hear, and that he'll be able to dispense your truth in a way that all of us can understand. Father, we ask that as we participate in this gospel meeting and all the programs we do towards spreading your gospel, that you'll help us, O God, to do them and to do them well. Give us also, O God, creative minds, that we will seek other ways to spread your gospel. Father, we beg for your forgiveness. We beg for your guidance. Beg, mighty God, for your continued presence among us. Help us, O God, to seek always to follow your lead. Great God, we pray for your church here and indeed everywhere. Pray, mighty God, for the leadership of each congregation, for their families, their support systems, the men who lead along, that, O God, the congregations will continue to do your will and to do it well. Pray, O God, for the many communities in which the church is found, that you continue, O God, to bless them, to give them, O God, an attitude to want to listen, and, O God, that the church will move from strength to strength. Guide us, O God, we pray. Forgive us of our sins. Give us the boldness, give us the conviction as we go. Great God, we end this prayer by thanking you for Jesus Christ, thanking you for him crucified. Thank you, O God, for the hope that we have because of that sacrifice. Help us, O God, always to see it as this wonderful, awesome privilege and blessing that it is. Help us never to treat it, O God, as a common thing. Again, we beg for your guidance as we pray through Christ's name. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and we'll be reading verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a fountain, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a
let us turn to Psalm 519 and sing two stanzas of this song, 519. Let us stand as we sing this song, 519. 519. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we are. And behold, sit Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and let us trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory when the doors of life repay, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we invite our minister to come and teach us God's word.
We are going to bow our heads as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Merciful, holy, everlasting God in heaven, again, my God, we can truly say thanks to you. Thanks, Almighty God, for keeping us alive. Not only have you kept us alive, but we acknowledge that we are exposed, my God, to so many blessings, both the spiritual blessings that are available in Christ and the physical blessings of life. For these we give you thanks. And we beg, my God, that you will help us that we may never take your many blessings and your goodness toward us for granted. We give you thanks for the beautiful day that it is, and that we are able, my God, in spite of, for some, their health is not what they want it to be, but we are thankful that we are able to be here. Now, my God, guide our motives, our words, our action, so that at the end, we will be guided, my God, by your word, so that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. Almighty God, as we study another portion of your word, we beg for your mercies through Christ. We beg for guidance. We beg for understanding. We beg for the strength and the conviction, not only to live your truth, but, my God, teach us how to search for ways and people with whom we can share these truths. My God, I beg today, as I attempt to share this lesson, I beg your special help through Christ, and I beg your guidance, your mercies. Through him, I beg your forgiveness. I beg your strength. I beg, my God, for sharp memory, so that the things you want to bear on the lesson, the things that I have studied that are in keeping with your will and purpose, I'll be able to recall them. And help me, my God, to make the lesson plain and simple, so that not only will your name be honored and be exalted through Christ, but that we will be helped, be enlightened, be challenged, and be directed. Bless your word and guide it to the minds, to the hearts of each one of us, especially those, my God, who do not know your truth, who have not made commitment to you. May you, through Jesus Christ, help them to see reason to do so today and to do so. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We had announced from Wednesday night the possible lesson that we dealt with, and we will in fact be looking on the lesson that was announced. I think it was last week or the previous week, Brother Smith and I were discussing, and he brought up the passage of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Now I know that the passage which was read was Isaiah 28 verse 16, and that forms a part of the discussion, but the question that was asked by Brother Simit is the point in Matthew 16:18. Let us hear the text.
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Could you read it again, Brother Blake?
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
The text of Matthew 16:18 is and has been a misunderstood text and a misinterpreted text. And this is for hundreds of years. Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church. Well, first, let us get the context. Take for granted things that sometimes must not be taken for granted. We assume everybody knows the context, so sometimes we just read that verse. Let us hear from around verse 13 or 14, somewhere there.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
that's right,
he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
What are they saying about me? That's, you know, Christ wanted to know.
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist.
You notice the mixed opinion. Watch here now. And you know, this is a common thing. The mixed opinion. What is striking here is all of them, except Peter, are going to be wrong. Some say
that thou art John the Baptist.
Jesus Christ was not John the Baptist. Read on.
Some, Elias.
Some say he was Elijah.
And others.
Christ was not Elijah.
And others, Jeremiah.
Some say he was the prophet Jeremiah.
Or one of the prophets.
Jesus Christ was not Jeremiah. He was not one of the prophets either. Within the context that they meant. Read on.
He said unto them, but whom say ye that,
that
I am?
Is you, my disciple. Now, I'm narrowing it down to you. You're my close followers. What do you think about me? You have been with me. I want to hear what you think about me. Read.
And Simon Peter answered and said.
Now he's usually the spokesman. That's right. He's the one going to make the most mistake. But he's the one who's going to come up front and be right also. Read.
Thou art the Christ.
You are the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
And Jesus answered and said unto him,
Blessed
art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee.
In other words, say also. You see, Peter had just said something. Jesus Christ said, I'm also saying something to you. Read on.
That thou art Peter.
That you are Peter.
And upon this rock.
And upon this rock,
I will build my church.
And build my church.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
May I? On the surface, it would appear as if Jesus Christ was saying to Peter that he would build the church on Peter. That means Peter would be the foundation. But, you know, Paul was a question in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Let us hear it. Romans 4 and verse 3.
For what saith the scripture?
Now, Brother Webb, that's what we are interested in. For example, Brother Blake, I give you a book there now. If you will notice at the back or the front, you'll notice the origin is from the night of Columbus. The Knight of Columbus is the official printing organization of the Roman Catholic Church. That's right. Most of their literature is printed, comes from the Knight of Columbus. That's the place, the printing organization belonging to the Roman Catholic Church that literally print all or most of their literature. So the book being read is not from the Church of Christ. It's not from some other religious organization. It is from the Roman Catholic Church. And you may ask how I got it. It's a course they were offering this course 10 years ago. Many of you didn't born yet, from about 1963, 64. I was studying the state and saw where I could get this book. It's a course offered by the Roman Catholic Church. So, the Father what? Father Simit is instructing, in this case, I'm the one who took the course, they were instructing me. But let us hear what it says here, what I underline, brother.
Page 48.
Page 48.
In the scriptures, we learn that Jesus selected one of the 12.
In the scripture, the Roman Catholic book says, we learn that Jesus Christ select one of the 12.
And change his name from Simon.
And Christ changed his name from Simon.
To Rock.
To Rock.
Peter in brackets. Because. In representing Christ on earth.
Watch here now. Peter in representing Christ on earth.
As a foundation of his church.
That is, Peter would be the foundation of Christ's church.
He and his successors.
He and those who succeed Peter.
Because the church would go on after his death.
The church would go on after Peter's death.
Would be the source of stability.
That is the person, Peter, on whom the church supposed to have been built according to the Roman Catholic. The church would have stability.
Would be the source of stability and unity in this body. A living spokesman and a divinely guided arbiter in disputes.
Yeah, Peter would be a divine arbitrator in dispute.
But in the second paragraph. But in Matthew and XVI 16. In Matthew 16. 17 to 19. You will observe that Christ conferred on him a new name. After he, speaking for all the apostles, made a profound profession of faith in the divinity of Jesus. The change of Simon's name to Peter is noted in Matthew 4, verse 18, and Exodus 10.
Okay.
10, verse 2, Mark 3, 16, Luke 6, 14, and John 1, 42.
Okay, thank you. Of course, we learn here at least that the Roman Catholic thing, that Peter is the foundation of the church. That Christ selected him for that purpose. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, again, I ask the question that the Holy Spirit through Paul posed. But what say the scriptures? That is what really comes. In 700 BC, 700 years before Jesus Christ, when the Almighty God inspired the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah says these words about Jesus Christ. Found in the book of Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Keeping in mind that this was said through the prophet 700 years before Jesus Christ. Let us hear it.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God.
Therefore, this is what God says.
Behold,
behold,
I lay in Zion.
In the meantime, somebody turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 8. Read right away.
I lay in Zion.
I set in Zion.
For a foundation, a stone.
Now, notice. We are going to see if Peter was that foundation. Are we right? Now, God says, that was, remember this, Isaiah was prophesying from 700 B.C. That's about the time that Isaiah the prophet came on the scene. And way back then, the Almighty God says, I lay in Zion. What?
For a foundation, a stone.
For a foundation. A stone.
A tried stone.
It is a tried stone.
A precious cornerstone.
It is a precious cornerstone.
A sure foundation.
It is not just a foundation, but a
sure
foundation. Wait, I'm going to show you that no man or woman on earth is adequate to be this type of foundation. In fact, I'm going to show you that not even angel, when the Almighty God made the decision that someone had to come to redeem us, it had to be one who was sure to succeed. Angels are sinless. They do not have sin. Those who serve God. But you know what? The wise God knew that possibly they would not be able to stand against Satan. So God had to choose one who would succeed against the wiles of the devil. Man inadequacy, human sin, and frailties make it impossible for man to be this kind of foundation. Because man's salvation, man's redemption, man's everlasting peace, the church of Christ need this type of foundation. A sure foundation. So the Almighty God says, I lay in Zion a stone. It is not just a stone. What type it is? It is a tried stone. Read on.
A precious stone.
It is a precious stone. Read on.
A sure foundation.
It is a sure foundation.
He that believeth shall not make haste.
Shall not make haste. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody said, Brother Mitchell, this was 700 years before Jesus Christ. Oh, that this referred to Jesus Christ. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And we want verse 6 through verse 8. Quick, brother.
Therefore also. It is contained in the scriptures.
It is contained. You see, brother Blake, these inspired men depend on what the scripture says.
Amen.
That's right. And we need to. It is contained in the scripture.
Behold. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone.
I lay in Zion a what?
A chief cornerstone.
Brother Blake, he was quoting from Isaiah.
Amen.
That's right. A chief cornerstone.
Elect.
Precious.
And he that believeth on him.
He who believes on him.
Shall not be confounded.
Shall not be confounded. Wait. In this audience, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Wait. That does not mean just to believe that he exists and that he went to believe to the extent that you will turn your life over in obedience to him. Do you believe? Read on.
Unto you therefore which believe.
Unto you, Christian, who believe.
He is precious.
You see, the people to whom Jesus Christ is precious. The people to whom he is a sure foundation. The people to whom he is tried. Unto you who believe, he is precious.
But unto them which be disobedient.
But unto them are you disobedient. you see how God make the distinction?
Amen.
But unto them who are disobedient,
the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
The word disallow here is implying reject.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't reject Jesus Christ. Because not only do you need him now, you are going to even need him more in the future. Read, brother, what verse you start?
This is verse 8 now.
Read verse 8.
And a stone of stumbling.
A stone of stumbling.
And a rock of offense.
A rock of offense.
Even to them which stumble at the word.
To them who stumble at the word.
Being disobedient.
Being disobedient.
Whereunto also they were appointed.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, so here we have it. That Isaiah 28:16 was talking about Jesus Christ, the sure foundation. Peter applied in that way. According to Isaiah, Jesus Christ alone was laid in Zion. Not Jesus Christ and some other character. Jesus Christ alone was to be the foundation. Not Jesus Christ and Peter. Jesus Christ alone was the tried stone. Jesus Christ alone, not Christ and Peter, was to be the precious stone. Jesus Christ alone was the sure foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, when we run to the book of Isaiah 64 and verse 6 and Romans 3, 9 through 12, we realize that human inadequacy. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Human inadequacy. Human frailties. Human ignorance and sin makes it impossible for us to be the sure foundation. That's right. Because God needed a foundation that is guaranteed. No man, neither Peter, nor any other human being could be this foundation. Why? When we turn to the book of Isaiah 64 and read the verse that I mentioned, dear brother, verse, let us hear it, 6.
But
Romans 3, 9 through 12.
But we are all as an unclean thing.
We are
all.
Some of us.
We are all.
Most of us.
We are all.
As what?
As an unclean thing.
You see, the scripture is telling why we could not be that sure foundation. Because God needs clean that which is by nature clean. Morally, spiritually, religiously clean. Read.
And all our righteousness.
All our righteousness.
Are as filthy rags.
Amount to filthy rags.
And we
wait,
all.
Wait. There is no exception but Jesus Christ. And we what, brother?
And we all do fade as a leaf.
Y'all hear that? We could not fit. Peter could not be the sure foundation for Christ's church. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through verse 12.
What then?
What then?
Are we better than they?
Are we Jews? Wait. You are aware, brother, in the book of Romans chapter 3?
Yes.
May I? Here is a continuation. Paul is almost on the same link from chapter 1 of the book of Romans. And he's showing both morally, spiritually, religiously, Jews and Gentile need Jesus Christ. Not just the Gentile, Jews and Gentile. And he's giving the reason now why all men need Jesus Christ. Let us hear it.
What then?
What then?
Are we better than they?
Are we, that is, the Jews, are we Jews better than they? They who? The Gentiles.
No.
He said no. A big no.
In no wise.
In fact, he wants to drive it home. There is no way that Jews are better than Gentiles. I give you a little brother here, a light to the brother. People who are telling you about keeping the law today. Are we there? Take them back to this passage and tell them that when the Jews who had this elevated moral code in the sight of God, they were not better than the Gentiles.
Amen.
Never forget that.
Yeah.
Here you have it. Are we Jews better than? Remember, the Jews had the Ten Commandments. Here, inspiration is telling the world that even with the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, the law, the Jews were not better than the Gentiles. So why should I go back to it today? That would represent ignorance.
Amen.
That was brought up. Read on, brother.
For we have before proved.
He said we have before proved.
That both Jews and Gentiles.
You hear that, brother? Both Jews and Gentiles.
That they are all
are under sin. We're talking about no human being with our frailties, our inadequacies, our ignorance, our sin. No man could fit into being the sure foundation.
Amen.
You're not true, brother Reed?
As it is written.
As it is written.
There is none righteous.
Everybody hear that? If you and I are going to be righteous in the sight of God, it must come from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All the good and nice things we do, and they are necessary that we do good and nice things, but never misunderstand those good and nice things. They are not righteousness of themselves.
Yeah.
Why we must do good and nice things? Righteousness is the sole prerogative of the Almighty God. Let me hear more of that.
There is none righteous.
None righteous.
No.
No.
Not one.
Not even one. Country people who die say, not even one. Gaddy one. That's right. Read on, brother.
There is none that understandeth.
None understand. That's why the Bible says if you recognize that you lack wisdom, ask God.
Amen. Amen.
If you read all the books in the world and get all the knowledge in the world, you still might be a foolish person in the sight of God. That's right. None understand. Read, brother.
There is none that seeketh after God.
None that really seek after God.
They're all gone out of the way.
All gone out of the way.
They are together, become unprofitable.
Everybody hear that? Everybody hear that we are talking? What verse is that, brother?
Verse 12.
Verse 12. All of us, we have become unprofitable. May I? Some man could not. Are you there with me? Man could not be the foundation that is under. Consideration. It can be said that there are at least five foundation of the Christian faith. Brother Mitchell, please repeat that. Thank you for asking me. It can be said that there are at least five foundations of Christian faith. One, the foundational fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God. That's one of the foundation of the Christian faith. Two. Delivered to the apostles and the prophets of the new dispensation. That's two. Remember, we are discussing that it can be said that we are at least five foundation of the Christian faith. I have just given you two. The last one I give you is the foundational teachings of Jesus Christ delivered to the apostles of Christ and the prophet of the new dispensation. I could give you passages like Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 26, but because time is going, I'll just go over these. Three. The third foundation is the foundation person of the Christian religion. That foundation person is Jesus the Christ. Wait, don't mix that up. The first one I told you was the foundational fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. This third one is the foundation person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And four, the foundational doctrine of Christianity as outlined in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 and verse 2. And finally, the foundational personnel. You know, I saved this one for the last because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 through 20 can be another misunderstood passage. So let us hear that. Remember, the last foundational truth of the Christian faith I have just mentioned is the foundational personnel made up of the apostles of Christ and the prophets of the New Testament. Let us hear Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 and 20. Or rather 19 through 21. Let us hear it.
Now therefore. And of the household of God. And give the foundation of the apostles and the prophets.
Wait. That's another passage. Built up on. Notice. Foundation of the apostles and prophets. Am I right? May I? Foundation of. You see, this is what we call genitive. Genitive. It's used in English, but not as much. It's really possessive. In Greek, it is used a lot because in Greek, one of the way you show possessiveness, foundation of the apostles and prophets. But this is not just genitive. The Greek grammarian call it genitive. Actoris, A-U-C-T-O-R-I-S. That is Greek grammarian. So don't go looking in English grammar book and go and ask Stephanie, if Sister Darby, if Brother Gilbert, or these other English teacher, Brother Mitchell is right. Because you're not going to likely to find that in English grammar. But then take the Greek grammar and it will talk about the genitive actoris, What this means, it doesn't mean that they make up the foundation. Get that. It's important to get it. What that means, the foundation of. It means the foundation which they lay down. As simple what it means. The foundation of. They are the one who lay it down. So it talks as if, not as if they are part of, but as if the foundation belongs to them. The foundation of genitive actoris. Remember, genitive is possessive. You know, the house of Lydia. You're going to have this half belonging to. So here it is. When you read this passage, you may read it thinking that it means the apostles were part of the foundation. No! They only laid down the foundation. Rather, they preached that foundation. You want the Bible? You want the Bible? Back up what Brother Mitchell is saying. So a passage you know for umpteen years. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Let us hear it. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10.
According to the grace of God.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I have made the foundation.
Take time with the brother. I am a part of the foundation.
I have made the foundation.
That's all, Brother Webb. It is part, it's talking about foundation up. Because they lay the foundation. They are not the foundation. They are not a part of the foundation. They only lay the foundation. I lay the foundation and another build on it. Wait, you know there are some good stuff there, brother. Wait, and you know it pertains us. In fact, I may have to make this sermon a two-part sermon because I have to spend a little time on this. Now, Paul now is getting to the church at Corinth. It's a warning, you know. With all that was going on at the church at Corinth. Huh? Party spirit. Huh? I am a Paul. I am a Cephas. I am Christ. With all the sin. That was sinful. There was fornication. There was going to law court. So he's getting at the... Wait. Remember what is under. You know what I discover? Sometimes I press too hard on these things. Brothers, let us invent a way where we can push it back down. You know? That's right. Okay, wait. I want the foundation. Yes, this is some strong foundation. Huh? This is the foundation. That's right. And what Paul is showing them, now he's showing them, Cephas is not that foundation. The party spirit. He's showing them that Paul is not that foundation. He's showing them that Apollos is not that foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ only. Remember what Paul says? I lay the foundation. I know some of you are dying to read verse 11, but hold that. That's right. Just hold the good stuff. That's right. I laid the foundation. Now, this is against the background that different groups were aligning themselves with different church leaders. Paul says, be careful. There is not one foundation. Now, watch here. That is Jesus Christ. May I? On any foundation, you have to be careful what superstructure you put on it. On any foundation, it matters not how the foundation is good. Make sure that what you build on the foundation is in keeping with the foundation. So what he said there, brother, that
foundation and another building thereon.
Uh-huh.
But let every
Are we there? You see, now you also contemplate what you're going to read.
For other foundations.
First, well. Wait. Notice the any man. In less than about 4 or 5 verses, any man, each man, going to be repeated no less than 4 or 5 times. You know what that? It is talking to individual Christian in the church. That don't just be satisfied that your Christianity is built on Christ. What you build on him and how you do it is important. Now watch here now, read that.
Now if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest.
You notice the every man? What he's doing here, speaking to individual Christians. That we must be careful the type of Christianity, the type of religious life, spiritual life that we set out to build, and we must make sure that it is in keeping with Christ. The life, the Christian life we build on Him must concur with Him. Read on. Now, notice, our work can be likened to wood. Huh? It can be likened to hay. Many of you don't even know. The hay is the grass. As little fire touch it, it burn up. That's right. Some of the other thing that meant. We call it stubble. Small pieces of wood. Read on.
Stone.
That's not so bad at all.
Precious
stone.
Silver.
That's not bad.
Gold.
That's not bad.
Every man's work
shall be made manifest. That is the day of judgment. That's right. Read on. Fire is the test, you know. Fire is the test. You hear the every man? Everybody is here getting it? Don't boast. I know that I am worshipping just God. How are you worshipping Him? What kind of worship are you giving? I know I'm a Christian. What kind of Christian are you? You notice the verse. Let every man take heed how he built on this foundation. And Paul was saying to the Corinthians, some of what you know go on with there is not in keeping with the foundation that I laid. Notice now verse 11. Doesn't that drive it home, brother? Huh? It cannot be Peter, Paul. It cannot be Jesus Christ. And what the Holy Spirit is saying here, there is but one foundation. So the Roman Catholic book is right, is wrong, brother. And Roman Catholicism, that Peter was made the first foundation. You see, what they're doing, you know, that's how comes he was the first pope, according to the Roman Catholic Church. They said Peter was the first pope. That's false. And Peter was not the foundation. He was not a part of the foundation that Jesus Christ is. None of the apostles. They were foundation only in the sense that they were the foundation member. This great temple. Jesus Christ is the only foundation. Yeah? The Bible says there is but one foundation. May I say something here, brothers and sisters? Religious falsehood is not an innocent thing. Please keep that in mind. Religious falsehood is an encroachment on the wisdom of God, on the holiness of God, and on the divinity of the Almighty God. When we hold on to falsehood, or teach falsehood, or embrace falsehood, we are actually rejecting the wisdom of God. We are throwing one side the holiness of God and the divinity of God. May I? The true New Testament church, the church of Christ, was never built on Peter or any other man or woman except Jesus Christ. I just feel to preach, but you know what? I'm going to stop right here. Because next week, God's willing, we are going to finish the rest of the best is yet to come. Brothers and sisters, we are going to be going to the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and we are going to show the truth of that. May I just throw some here? Not only that there are two words used in the text, the word for Peter, Petrus, made up of six letters, and the word for rock. You see, Petrus is really piece of rock or a pebble. But it goes much beyond that. The word for rock, not stone, not pebble, is a different word made up of five letters. But there are some other grammatical things. For example, one of the word is masculine, one of the word is feminine gender. Showing that even though the two words look similar, they are different. Next week we'll get into that to show that Peter, Jesus Christ, was not saying, I will build the church on Peter, but on the truth that Peter confessed, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the truth on which the church of Christ was built. But next week, we will get into more detail and analyze that passage. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. One last passage. Matthew 7, 24. Matthew 7. We are closing. The brother is preparing his invitation song. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you to obey the truth. Jesus Christ speaking here in Matthew 7.
Therefore,
any man or woman who hear these teachings of man and practice them. Everybody's there? Read what happened.
I would like him unto a wise man.
Wouldn't you want to be a wise person in the sight of God? Look here. When the world consider us wise, and God consider you foolish, you are in trouble. When God considers you wise, and the world consider you foolish, you are still way ahead of the world. But Jesus Christ says, here is one way you become wise. When you hear what he says, and you practice them. That is, you obey them, and you live by them. But listen further. Where was it built?
Upon a rock.
You know who is that rock? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that rock that was laid in Zion. True, tried, sure. I say to you this morning, if men and women lives upon the living rock, Jesus Christ, they would no longer having the lack of fear and being discouraged by the collapse, of all that they build elsewhere. Because all that you and I build elsewhere are going to collapse. But when on Christ is your foundation, there will never be a collapse of a life that is built on Jesus Christ. We invite you now to come, accepting that you are a sinner. Come believing that Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with your sin problem. Come, not only believing, but come repenting of your sin. Come confessing Christ's name. Come submitting yourself to the watery grave of baptism, in which the Almighty God will apply the blood of Jesus Christ to deal with all of your past sin. You will come from that watery grave of baptism like a new person in the sight of God, because you have built your life on the sure foundation, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to come as we stand.
Psalm 311.
311.